Well, anyway, good morning. I want to welcome you to Journey Church. Make sure right now you say good morning to your neighbor. Just let them know one more time. Say good morning. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to jump into part two of our current series that we're calling, here it is on the screen, The One Jesus Loves. The One Jesus Loves. And this whole series is on a book called The One Jesus Loves, written by a guy named Robert Crosby. So I just want to make sure that you know that a lot of these thoughts aren't originally coming from me. They're thoughts that I've read, that I've connected to, made them my own. So The One Jesus Loves by Robert Crosby. And what we're going to do in this series, what we're doing already, is we're looking at these six circles of relationships that surrounded Jesus when he was here on earth. We know he was here on earth for about a little over 33 years. Three of those years plus were in ministry. During those times, there were these circles of relationships that were gathering around Jesus. And here's my challenge as we go through this series, not only today, but throughout the series, week after week, and that is to answer this question to yourself. The question we want you to just look inward to is this: what circle am I currently in? So as we go through step by step by step, and we're going to be getting closer and closer to Jesus, I want you to take the time to do some, look inward and ask yourself, what circle would I find myself in today? And I do want to let you know, regardless of where you are today, regardless of where you are today in your relationship with Jesus, I want to let you know this fact, and that is that Jesus is calling you closer. Does everybody understand that this morning? Jesus is not only calling the pastor closer, he's calling every single one of us. Jesus is calling. He's saying, hey, I want to get closer. We could use the word intimacy, but how many people know that scares the guys? So we'll use the word friendship. Jesus is wanting all of us to get closer than we are today. And I love what Oswald Chambers Sanders said years ago. He said this. Look at these words. He said, hey, we're as close to Jesus as we choose to be. I love that quote. You and I, we are today as close to Jesus as we choose to be. I want to let you know, Jesus is waiting. He's just saying, hey, come unto me. Jesus wants to get closer, but here's the deal. It's up to us. We make the choice of how close we will allow Jesus to be. It's up to us in our daily choices, decisions, how close to Jesus we will be. So last week, what we did is we kicked off this series with the most outer circle. So just envision there's six circles, and in the middle, in the center, there's Jesus. And last week, we looked at the outer circle, and we called that circle the crowds. Everybody just say that together, the crowds. And who are the crowds? Well, the crowds represent those who follow Jesus. They were following Jesus to places of watching. They heard about Jesus. Their friends said, come on, man, you got to check this guy out. And they were hearing about the signs, the wonders, the miracles, people being set free. Amazing things were happening. So the crowds were coming, and they wanted to see for themselves, is this really, really true? So they wanted to see what Jesus was doing. They also wanted to listen to the teachings of Jesus, because it says in the Gospels that when Jesus spoke, he spoke with such life. He spoke with such power. He spoke with such authority. It was like, I often envision, how many people know at night if you turn on a light, the moths are going to come looking for the light? And that's the way it was with Jesus, man. When people heard, they heard about Jesus, they just wanted to be there. They wanted to check out Jesus for himself. That was the crowds. What we're going to do today is we're going to move into that second circle. That second circle, we're going to move one circle closer to the center. We're going to look one circle closer to Jesus. And today what we're going to do is we're going to look at a group of people often referred to in the scriptures as the 5,000. So we're going to look at the 5,000s. So today what we're going to do, if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to look to the first book of the New Testament, and that is the book of Matthew. So this is Matthew's perspective as he looked at the life of Jesus, okay? By the way, Matthew was one of the disciples. He was one of the disciples who was a tax collector. He was a nasty guy. And then Jesus one day said, hey, come and follow me. And he left everything behind. Now he's writing his story of how he saw the life of Jesus. It's really cool, okay? So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at chapter 14. And we're going to read some verses together, verses 13 through 21. And I'm going to make you a promise today. I'm not going to have any comments as I read. I'm only going to have one question, okay? How many people think I can do it? Say, you can do it. Who thinks I can't do it? Raise your hand. Heather thinks I can't do it, okay? And if I don't, I'll hear about it in the car on the way to lunch today, okay? It's great. We have great discussions, healthy discussions. We just speak our mind. How about you guys? Okay, so let's go and let's read this together. Hey, why don't we just change positions just for a second? Why don't we just stand? It's not a long passage. Let's stand for the reading of the word. No comments. One question. Oh, Lord, be with me. Okay. It says here, Matthew writing, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowds as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. 15. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy food for themselves." Verse 16. But Jesus says, "Hey, that isn't necessary. You feed them." I love that. Verse 17. "We only have 5 loaves of bread and we have 2 fish," they answered. Verse 18. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and he took the 2 fish. He looked up towards heaven and he blessed the food. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. Verse 20. They all ate as much as they wanted. Woo! And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover. Here's my question. Why did the disciples pick up the leftovers? Here's my reason, because they liked leftovers. How many people love leftovers? How many people refuse to eat leftovers? Well, you're too good for leftovers. Send them my way. I love leftovers, okay? So the disciples and me are kind of the same people. We love leftovers. That was the question. Verse 21, about 5,000 men. 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and all the children. So my math is there's probably at least about 20,000, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone that's here. All week I've been praying this prayer. Lord, open our minds to receive from you today. Give us spiritual ears so that we can hear. Give us spiritual eyes so that we can see. Lord, give us good hearts to receive the seed of your word, that that seed would fall on good hearts, on good soil. And as a result, our lives would produce 40, 60, 100-fold. So, Lord, I just pray, not by my might, not by my power, but by your Spirit. I just pray right now that there'll be the dynamic working of the Holy Spirit. So right now, I pause, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come. Would you come? And would you speak to people's hearts? So, Lord, it would never be the same again. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. By the way, I did it. You may be seated. Okay, almost, okay. There's gray areas. We'll hear about the gray areas later, okay, gray areas. The very first verse, and I want to look at it again. The very first verse, it's in the next slide, verse 13, begins this way. The whole story we read today begins on this hinge. It says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he heard some news and he left in a remote area. Why? Because he wanted to be alone. So my question is this. What was the news that Jesus had just received? Does anybody know? Don't say it out loud, but do you know what the news was? Well, to get the news, you got to read the first 12 verses, I think it is, of that same chapter. And the news is this. How many people have ever heard of a guy named John the Baptist? John the Baptist, he was the forerunner telling people about Jesus. And the news is that John the Baptist, who, by the way, was also the cousin of Jesus, had been executed. How many people know the story about Herod, who's the ruler of the Galilees? He asked his daughter, hey, I'll give you anything you want. And the daughter's mother intervenes and says, hey, tell your dad to behead John the Baptist, meaning cut off his head, put it on a platter. How many people know the Bible's very specific? And put on his head on a platter and bring it out to this great party. So here's the deal. Jesus has just received this news. It's almost like he's hit with this emotional hand grenade. So what does he do? He says, I'm going to go find a boat. And I want to get in that boat because I need to get to a remote area. Because at this time in my life, as I process this very difficult news, I want to be alone. I want to be alone. By the way, can anybody identify with Jesus? You've been hurt before? Something big happened? It hurt inside? And you didn't want to be around other people, but you would rather go to a quiet place? And you'd rather just be alone, get away even from your spouse, get away even from your children. You just want to go and you just want to be with God. And that's what Jesus is saying. I'm going to go be with my Father. And I'm going to spend time with him. And I love this story because it reveals the human side of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus was fully God, 100%, and fully human. It's amazing. We can't get our mind around it. But this story shows the humanity of Jesus, that he's very emotional, that he can feel pain. He went through the things that we go through. We can identify. He can identify with us. And that's what we see happening. It's a very emotional time in the life of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. Regardless of what Jesus is going through on a personal level, regardless of how he was feeling, I want to let you know that didn't stop the crowds. It didn't stop the crowds from hunting him down. Why? So that they could come to him with their needs. They weren't very sensitive to Jesus. It was all about their needs. This is, Jesus, we got to get in your presence. We have things that only you can take care of. We need to make sure we chase you down, we find you, and we just want to get into your presence. So here's my question to you. Let's put ourselves in the story. Let's put ourselves in Jesus' shoes. Better yet, let's put ourselves in Jesus' sandals, okay? Did you like that? Okay. How would you have responded if you were Jesus? Just think about it. If you were Jesus, you just lost your cousin, somebody close to you, somebody that prepared the way for your coming, someone who just gave his life for you, someone who was just there for you all the time. How would you respond if you were Jesus? I thought about that this week. I think I would have said, time out. Time out. I need some downtime. I need some me time. I need some alone time. I think I would have went up to the disciples and said, hey guys, just give me one day. Just give me just one day. I just need to go and be with God. Would you please just fight the crowds off for me? Don't tell them where I'm at. But how many people know that's not what we see in the text? That's not how Jesus responds. In verse 14, we actually read that Jesus, going through his tough time, looks upon the crowds. He sees them coming. And the text says he has compassion. He has compassion. Compassion to the point that there's people who are sick in the crowd, physically sick. And he lets them come. He says, come on, come on. In the midst of his tough day, and he begins to heal people. I mean, everybody had a need. That's Jesus. Isn't he cool? He just begins to heal everybody, okay? And he begins to meet their needs. And somehow Jesus, this is what Jesus is doing there. He's setting aside his pain. He's setting aside his grieving. He set aside his own needs. And he began to do this. He began to prioritize the needs of other people. How many people want to get close to somebody like that? Jesus. He looks beyond his need, his pain, his agony, his grieving, his suffering, and he begins to say, hey, I'll meet your need. I'm there for you. And here's the deal. The story doesn't stop there. That's the first part of the day. We see that that same evening, if you remember what was written in the text, the same evening after a full day of just giving everything he had. I'm sure it's an emotional drain. The energy's gone. But after a day of just ministering to all the people, the disciples, they approach him and they say, Jesus, that's not the end of the day. We have a big problem here. And the big problem is this, that the people who have been coming to follow you, guess what, Jesus? They haven't eaten all day. And bless their hearts, they're hungry. They're hungry. And what makes it worse, we read in the text that they're in this remote place where there's no Quick Trips. There's no Family Fresh. There's no Cane's Chicken. Come on. There's no place that they can go where there's food. Okay? So the disciples, I love the disciples. They get kind of bold. They kind of tell, they start to boss Jesus around. By the way, has anybody ever started to boss Jesus around? Jesus, this is what you should do. I want to let you know, you guys won't confess it, but I've done that plenty of times. Jesus, this is what I think you should do. Am I the only one here that's ever done that before? Well, bless your heart on perfection. A sinner sits in front of you saved by grace. Amen? Saved by grace. And I love that because the disciples try to give him advice, and they say, hey, Jesus, you mean you should probably send them to the distant town, so you need to send them away so they, and here's this, Jesus, make them buy their own food. The disciples were more like me more and more. They were cheap. Jesus, make them buy their own food. So Jesus said, no, we're going to get involved in this together. We're going to meet the need. We're not only going to heal them, we're going to meet this physical need. And what Jesus does is he takes 5 loaves of bread and he takes 2 fish. And the Bible says he looks up into heaven to his Father and he blesses the food. And the 5,000, the story tells us, the 5,000, which was probably about 20,000, not only do they eat, but that day they witness a miracle and they all eat as much. It was like a buffet. Of just made up of fish and chips, okay? They eat as much as they want. And here's the deal. Once again, their needs are met. So you need to think of this one day in the life of Jesus. He had just lost somebody close. He was going through a hard time. But he had compassion on them. He healed the sick. But not only that, he met their needs. So this is what I want you to hear this morning. And this is what I want you to see this morning. This is the application that I want to bring into 2018 this morning. And that is, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, remember, we're on the 2nd circle from the outside. We're in the 5th circle. And these circles are relationship. When it comes to relationship with Jesus, the 5,000 represents those who follow Jesus to places of healing and places of feeding. Let me say it this way. The 5,000 represents those who come to Jesus, and they come to Jesus with their needs. That's what this circle represents. Those people who are in relationship with Jesus, and when they're in time of need, they know that they can come to Jesus with their need. And here's what I want you to hear this morning, loud and clear. Loud and clear. That's okay. It's okay to have that relationship with Jesus where that's what you do is you come with your needs. And not only do I want to say that it's okay, I think that's what Jesus desires. It's fantastic. I want to let you know Jesus wants you to be able to have a relationship where you can come to him with all of your needs. That's what kind of relationships Jesus wants to have with you, where you can come to him with all of your needs, all of your needs. I want to let you know that Jesus is always there, always there, always there. He doesn't have a bad day when he says, stop, quit coming to me. You guys are driving me crazy. How many people know that sounds like a lot of fathers, right? I'm done today, okay? It's been a long day. Nolan's heard that from me, okay? But anyway, we don't have to hold back. We just don't have to hold back. And I want to let you know there's nothing too big that Jesus can't handle. There's nothing too big that Jesus can't handle. Doesn't the scripture say that with God, all things are possible? Can we say that together? Repeat after me. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And he's saying, hey, bring those things to me. That's the circle of relationship. That's the story of the 5,000. You can bring those big things. And hey, here's the other thing. You can bring the little things. The little things that other people would say, don't bring that to Jesus. He don't care about that. I want to let you know he does care about that. And I want to let you know that this relation of the 5,000 is just people saying, hey, I want to have a relationship where I can bring everything, where I can just bring everything. No holds bar, everything. Big things, small things, things that I just think, well, would he care about? Yes, you can bring all those things. So here's my challenge to you this morning. And Jenny, you can begin that music this morning, because I tell you what, I'm trying to be shorter in my preaching. How's it working out, by the way? Say, hey, you're not done yet, okay? Anyway, here we go. So here's my challenge as we are gathered here today. I want to challenge you with this question. It's really the question of the 5,000. And by the way, it's the same question that Jesus asked to a blind man 2,000 years ago who was a beggar. Jesus asked the same question to a guy named Bartimaeus. And here's the question that he asked to Bartimaeus, but it's also the question that he asked to every single one of us here today. Let's look at the question. Jesus is asking you and me today, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus is saying, hey, we could be in a relationship where you don't have to be afraid to ask. I mean, there's a lot of people in my life that I'm afraid to ask things from, but I tell you what, I've never been afraid to ask my parents. Never. Well, most of the time, okay? But I tell you what, when it comes to Jesus, you never have to be afraid. And here's the question. What do you want? Jesus is saying today, I just feel, open up your ears right now. If you need to close your eyes, just open up your ears. I just believe that you can hear this in your spirit. Jesus asking, hey, what do you want me to do for you today? I know what you're going through. I see your pain. I see the things that you're going through. I see the struggles. I know the issues in your life. I know you. I know you so well that I even know the number of hairs on your head. I know everything about you, all the details. And Jesus is simply asking the question to all of us today, what's your need? What's your need? Maybe you're here today and you say, well, my need is I have a physical need. Maybe you're here today and say, I need physical healing. Well, how many people know Jesus can handle that? Amen. Maybe you're here today and say, today my need's financial, or my need's relational. I have relationship problems with my spouse. I have a relationship problem with my kids. Maybe it's somebody at work, but Lord, you know what's going on. You know what's going on because you see everything. And Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do for you? What is it that you want me to do for you today? It's all about this outer circle where we can come in relationship and ask. So what we're going to do, and we got plenty of time this morning, we're going to take 1 minute, and it's going to seem like eternity, but I promise it will be 1 minute. The music's playing. I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to allow the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What do you want Jesus to do for you today? Jesus to do? Is it a broken heart? Is it confusion, doubt? So let's take the next 30 seconds now, and we're going to just say, Lord, be with us in this journey. Amen. So if you look to me this morning one last time, there's certainly no doubt that each one of us has different needs. But I want to say this, hands down, the greatest need that we all have as people that walk the face of the earth, the greatest need we have is the need for salvation. Amen? The need we have to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And here's the best news I want to give you today, this next verse. Let's look at the last verse of this morning. Can we read this together softly, everyone together? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So maybe right now your greatest need is saying, you know what, I've never placed my faith in Christ. I've never just repented of my sins, and I'm not sure if I have peace with God. Well, your greatest need is to make sure that you have peace with God. And the only way we can have peace with God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. But here's the deal. We need to call on Jesus into our lives. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I turn from my sins. I place my faith in you. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for your blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of my sins. So maybe that's you today. Your greatest need is you need salvation. And I want to encourage you to call out to Jesus. To call out to Jesus. Amen.